Hi everyone and welcome to Take 10 for Torah number 691. I hope you all are well. Any questions, comments, suggestions, recommendations, or sponsorships, please email me at rabbiismach@take10fortorah.org. Today's 10 is sponsored, Le'ilei Nishmas, Shmuel Zisa Ben Chanan Yehuda by the Brownstein family. Thank you, men the neshama. Have an aliyah. Before Chanukah begins, and we'll be devoting our classes to the topic of Chanukah, I wanted to discuss one element of Parsha and the story of Yaakov and Yosef being sold, and one of the elements that seems to be very curious. We know that Yosef was away from his father for many, many years, and in the beginning, perhaps, he wasn't able to send a letter, to send the message that he was really still alive. But of course, as he became viceroy and he became an important person and significant character in the government of Egypt, why at that point didn't he just send the letter home and say, hey, Yaakov, dead, I'm alive. You know, why doesn't he do something like that? And so Rishonim and Achronim deal with this, and I want to talk about the different approaches that exist. So first we have Rashi. Rashi talks about how in Rashi, Perek Lamed Zayin, Pasuk Lamed Gimel, so the Pasuk here is talking about how when Yaakov received the coat, he understood that his son was dead. Rashi says that he had a Ruach HaKodesh, he had some divine inspiration that he knew, and he understood that there was something that was going to happen to his son relating to Potiphar and to Potiphar's wife, and that's for a different time. But then Rashi continues and asks this question, you know, why is it that Yaakov wasn't given the divine inspiration to know that his son was still alive? So Rashi gives a very interesting answer. He says, Lefi she'achrimu bekilos kol mi she'yigla, because the brothers got together and made a cherem, they made a vow of excommunication on anybody who would reveal this secret. And not only was the brothers themselves, they were included in the vow to make sure that nobody spilled the beans, but Vishatful HaKadosh Baruch Hu Imahem, and so to speak, they made God swear an oath that he would not tell anybody either. Yitzchak actually did have the divine inspiration, right? The grandfather Yitzchak knew that he was alive, but he said, Amar Heichaglo, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Nerosa Legalos Lo. He said, you know, I'm going to go tell my son Yaakov that his son is really still alive. I can't do that. God himself didn't do that. So, like, who am I? Which creates this difficult dynamic where Yitzchak knows and Yaakov doesn't know, and the brothers all know. But that's what Rashi says, that there was some sort of cherem, a vow of excommunication, and therefore, because of that vow, God couldn't say a word, and perhaps, some suggest, even Yosef himself was in that vow of excommunication. The Das Zakenim actually goes so far as saying that the brothers went and made him vow that he would never divulge. And would he divulge, and if he wouldn't have made that vow, vows which were taken very seriously, they would have killed him. And so in order to stay alive, he had to make that vow, and he had to be involved in that as well, which is why Yosef never reached out, and Yosef never said anything. That's Das Zakenim's idea, that it all has to do with that vow that kept God from telling Yaakov, that kept everybody from telling Yaakov. It was the same vow that kept Yosef from telling Yaakov. Okay, the next idea offered by the Das Zakenim is V'yeshamer kishahaya eved lo ratza lahagid lo. When he was an eved, and he was a servant, and he was sitting in jail, of course he couldn't or wouldn't tell his father Yaakov. Ki yoser haya mitzaro, because it would have made him feel even worse. So he says, he's going to send a letter, hey dad, I'm actually alive, you may think I'm dead, I'm actually alive, but I'm in jail rotting away. Or I'm in the house of somebody as a servant. That would have made the father perhaps more sad in Yosef's eyes. When he was in prison as well. And why didn't he send the letter when he became king, when he became viceroy? That's because nobody would have believed him. As we do see later, that eventually when Yaakov does find out, he doesn't really believe him. And so that's why he didn't send the letter, because at no point was it good news, and at no point was it news that Yaakov would have actually believed. The final interpretation that the Das Zakenim offers, he says, Va'od, im hayamagid la'aviv hayayari shema yishmu echav. He was worried that, let's say, he goes and sends a letter to his father. What's going to happen? His brothers are going to hear. How are the brothers going to react? They're going to run away, because they're going to realize that Yaakov is going to be clearly upset. That was what they did. Maybe Yosef is going to kill him. Maybe Yaakov is going to be extremely upset. The father is going to be more in pain because he lost all of the sons because they all ran away. And so that's why it has to wait till there there's a, you know, there's a feeling of kinship and there's a feeling of relationship. And at that point, when they trust Yosef, which was actually not so easy. It wasn't so easy to trust Yosef. We're going to see that next week or the week after. At that point that they were told, go tell your father, they felt much more warmly about it. And because they did, he wasn't afraid that they were going to run away. So he didn't want his father to lose all the siblings out of intimidation from what Yosef's going to do in retaliation. Okay, the Rechaim weighs in on this as well. He says he doesn't, you know, again, the same question. He doesn't understand why it would be that you wouldn't just report, let your father know that you're alive. He says it's a good reason. It was time, O shall Yosef, tam leshvach. It was a good reason. So he says, first, in the beginning, when he was in jail, like Das Kanim says, he wasn't able to go and let everybody know. He couldn't do it. And then he says, at that point, later, he wasn't willing to go and embarrass his brothers, similar to the Das Kanim. He wasn't willing to embarrass his brothers before his father, for what their behavior was. He was, as the Aruch Chaim says, and this is pretty amazing, Chash al kavod ha'achim milabai sham. He was very nervous about embarrassing them. We spoke about the power of embarrassment and how seriously that's taken last week. Lefnei Yaakov Yitzchak v'chol zera Yaakov. You know, everybody was going to know what they did. V'saval sheyish ha'arav v'tzar milabai sham. He said it was better to allow his father to suffer the angst of not knowing where he is and to embarrass his brothers in that way. Just an idea that we drew from Yehuda and Tamar, this idea that, you know, really embarrassment is such a serious thing, to embarrass someone even when they're in the wrong. And this is a pretty extreme example of this, but even when they're in the wrong, it's better, Noach lo la'atam, la'adam shi'ap la'atam l'toch kivshan ha'esh, it's better to throw yourself into a fiery furnace than put somebody in that situation, even when one person's embarrassment is because of somebody else's crimes. So the Rechaim suggests that maybe that's why Yosef did it. Now the Ramban goes in a different direction, and the Ramban says that all of these machinations were really because, you know, Rashi says that when he gets all the brothers together and they bow before him, so he realized, finally, my dreams of everybody bowing before me have been fulfilled. The Ramban says, well, not quite. Binyamin wasn't there yet. And so Ramban says that really his whole goal over here is to actualize the dreams that he had had earlier. How does he get Binyamin down here? How does he get create a situation, an environment where Binyamin is going to bow down as well? And so the Ramban says, "V'alkein lo rotza lahagid lahem ani Yosef achichem." Therefore, he wasn't yet comfortable letting them know who he was. He says, and again, if this wasn't this, he didn't have this cosmic reason of fulfilling the prophecies in mind, then how dare he pain his father all of this time? Chassam Sofer and the Gra, Chassam Sofer doesn't like the idea that, you know, he would be so busy. He would be so busy with trying to fulfill prophecies. You know, you don't hurt people in order to fulfill prophecies. You just behave well. And that's, you know, hopefully how we fulfill all of our prophecies. But that's a little side discussion on the Ramban. The last idea I want to share with you is Rav Hirsch. Rav Hirsch says beautifully, he says, you have to attempt to explain Yosef's behavior on the basis of what it says in the Torah. We would have thought that if nothing else but his father's sake, he would make himself known to his brothers at once, because he saw the hand of God, he saw everything that happened. But a man of Yosef's intelligence could not have dreamed or believed that he was obliged to put himself at the service of his dreams. Rav Hirsch also objects to this idea, and so he says as follows. If he had wanted to remain a prince, and nothing but a prince in the eyes of his father and brothers, if he didn't want to return to his family as a son and his brother, he didn't have to resort to all these contrivances. However, Yosef, who, even as an Egyptian prince, raised his children in the spirit of the house of Yaakov, Yosef, who projecting even beyond his death, insisted that his bones should be laid in the rest in the land of his fathers, he needed to do two things, and I'll summarize because it's too long. He says he needed to be able to change his own opinion of his brothers. He needed to see that his brothers were worth being brothers with, that they had changed. And also he needed to see that his brothers would change their opinion of him. And so he bore a resentment, but he had to test them. Could they love a brother? Could they be moser nefesh and sacrifice themselves one for another? Could they treat Binyamin how they meant to or should have treated Yosef when he was a child? And also, not only testing them, but he was testing himself. He wanted to know whether or not Yosef remembered his dreams, and he saw how they suspected him for a lust of power, and therefore he wanted to see what would happen if he was king. How would they react? How would they see when he had actual power? That was Yosef's test. That's what he was trying to accomplish, and that's what he did and why he did not send a letter home. Have a great day.